Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Hey, one more time. Let's celebrate all these lives. Let me just pray for us. Father, we love you and we are so grateful for your son and for the lives he changes. And we're thankful that as a church, we get to be a part of it. We get to celebrate it. And God, we get to walk with these individuals as they continue to pursue you with their lives. Lord, we thank you for this moment. We invite you to speak to us. May we never be the same because of what you say to us today. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Woo! Well, if you are a guest today, if it is your first time, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the lead pastor here, and I am prone to outbursts of emotion. There's nothing better than celebrating life change, and God changes people's lives. But I want to take the energy of the moment we just had, and I want to magnify it because I want us to get a little silly this morning. And I know I was just crying. Maybe you were just crying as well. That's okay. You can cry and be silly at the same time. That's what guys do. We cry, and then we make a joke to cover up the fact that we were crying because we're embarrassed about crying. You're laughing, so you know some of these men. Okay. So, it is Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. It's going to get cold tonight. It's going to feel like Christmas. All right, I have some questions I want to ask, and I want you to participate, okay? I want you to be vocal. You can clap, you can hoot and holler. Hoot and holler is what I just said. My Clearwater, South Carolina just came out. Woo! Hooting and hollering. We gonna do some boot scooting later. I don't know what that was. Wow. 9:30. All right, we're going to talk about something very, very important, very critical, very crucial, and you may not have a strong opinion, and that's okay, but for some of you, you do have very strong opinions, and I want to hear them, okay? And for some of you, you're so excited because I'm actually going to give you a chance to vote this morning. We're going to vote on some things. We may even make some decisions about some things. Because what we're going to talk about is Christmas decorations, okay? So I've got some questions I have for you. I'm going to put the question up. I'm going to explain it, and then I'll tell you when it's time to vote. All right, so here's question number one. Do you prefer white lights or multicolored lights? Okay, hold on. I said wait. If we were playing Simon Says, you lost. All right, so I'm just picking. So some people argue white lights because some people deem them classier. Some people say they're easier to decorate with. Other people really want multicolored lights because they're more festive, they're more fun. I grew up in a white lights house, and I always wanted to be a multicolored lighthouse. And then I married a white light lady. Guess what color lights we have at our house? Actually, we have one of those trees that's like pre-lit. And so you can change it. You can make it white. You can make it multicolored. There's one setting where it flashes white for a minute and multicolored. I call that the psychopath setting. Like, who wants that? Okay. So, all right. Who believes white lights are the way? Let me hear you. Okay. All right. Who believes multicolored lights are the way? I think multicolored one. Change approved, guys. Sarsley, officially, if you go to Wellspring, now you have to have a multicolored. That's the way voting works. I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be horrible? All right. So now you see. All right, next question. Do you prefer simple, kind of tasteful decorations? Or do you prefer extravagant Clark Griswold decorations? You know, do you want it simple, clean, or are you like, there's an extra outlet, there's a square piece of land on my property, there should be an inflatable there? Okay, so those are the two sections. All right, who votes simple decorations? Okay, all right. I know who's gonna win this one. Who votes extravagant decorations? You guys picking up a theme here? The more fun they are with the decorations, the louder they get. Okay, two more. All right, I know some people that have a very strong opinion about this one. Wow, I'm hearing. Okay, so when do you put up decorations? This is a question. Many people, Thanksgiving Day is kind of the line of demarcation. Some people say you cannot decorate until Thanksgiving Day is done. And by some people, the most vocal proponent I know of this, we all know him, we all love him, TJ Goff. TJ Goff, because Thanksgiving is his favorite holiday. And he's like, don't shortchange Thanksgiving. We will decorate the day after. So that's some people. And then some people are like, man, Halloween's over or Labor Day's over. Let's decorate. Whenever. All right, all right. So who wants to decorate before Thanksgiving Day? Who prefers to wait until after Thanksgiving Day? Wow. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Last one. Now we know when we put them up. Last question. When do we take them down? All right. Do you prefer to take your decorations down before New Year's Day or by New Year's Day or after, which could be, you know, forever? I heard a comedian this weekend say, if you leave them up long enough, if you're lazy long enough, if you can push till like July, then you're just really early again and you can just judge everybody else. All right, so who says they have to be down by New Year's Day? And who says leave them up as long as possible? I figured. I saw the pattern. So when Danielle was in grad school, getting her teaching, her master's in teaching, one of her, you know, you have to do student teaching. And one of the ladies, where she was a student teacher, she invited her to her home. And so Danielle went to her home, and I think it was like March or April, and the Christmas decorations were up. And my wife was just like, tell me more. And the teacher said, oh, I leave them up all year long, because I have a house of joy. A house of joy. And so she kept them up all year. Some of you husbands are going to email me this week because you're so mad. I just taught your wife about house of joy because she's going to leave the decorations up. Oh, I'm seeing some nodding. So you're welcome. I taught you some fun stuff. Okay, well, that was fun. And if you're new to our church, I'm sure you're wondering, what in the world does any of that have to do with church and with Jesus and with Christmas? And if you've been around long enough, you know everything. It's going to set us up perfectly for I think our King wants to take us today. If you were here last week, we launched a series called Light of the World. It's Christmas, and the series is called Light of the World because Jesus claimed himself to be the light of the world. If you were here last week, April launched our series, and she taught about what it meant for Jesus to be the light of the world. He was proclaiming to the world, you need me. I'm going to be the source of life. I'm actually the source of everything you need, everything you want. It will all be found in me. And so that's why we call Jesus the light of the world. Now, if you weren't here last week and you want to go back and see how April got there, I'd encourage you, if you don't have it, grab our app because it's a great way to stay connected. And we put our content there and you can go back and you can see all the ways April built a message about how awesome Jesus is and how we turn to him. And she landed the plane this way. Here's where we're going to pick up today. She landed the plane by challenging us all to ask this question at Christmas, but all the time. Am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? Because we can rely on a lot of things to lead us. We can rely on our friends and our family. We can rely on ourselves. We can rely on our own thoughts, our own understanding. Or as Christ followers, as people who have chosen to make Jesus our king, we can choose to rely on him. And look, if you're new today, if you're a guest, if you're not sure you believe in Jesus, man, I'm honored that you're here, and I want you to know, man, we created our church for you. We hope you feel comfortable. We hope that you feel safe enough to kind of explore Jesus at your own pace, because here's what I think you'll discover. He's worth following. You saw people today going public in their decision to follow him. You see all of us in this room happy and singing, and it's not because of the weather outside. It's because the King of the universe has changed our lives. And we've learned that we really can rely on him and his light to lead us. And so we come back today, and we're going to return back to Jesus, because if we're going to let Jesus lead us, that means we follow him. In fact, April kind of landed the plane this way last week, and it just makes sense that the way we rely on the light of Jesus is by trusting the light of Jesus. It's by following the light of Jesus. It's by spending time with him in prayer. It's by reading his word to understand his direction and his encouragement and his coaching for our lives. We did an entire series about this earlier this year called The Good Shepherd. And Jesus wants to walk with us day by day, moment by moment, to guide us into the life he has prepared. And so we're talking about light and Jesus being light. And so today I wanted to turn to something Jesus says about light. But it's not about himself. He says it about us. And one of the most famous sermons he ever taught, the Sermon on the Mount, he basically opens it, encouraging his followers to lean in, and makes a startling statement. The light of the world says this to his followers. He says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Now look, I understand why Jesus would call himself the light of the world. He's the Son of God. He's come to change the world. But I want you to imagine you're there and you've heard about this guy, and something in you tells you, I think this guy is special. I think this guy is from God. I want to hear from him. And he opens up by saying, not just me, but you. You fisherman, you carpenter, you farmer, you are the light of the world. Just think about how you would have received that in that moment. You probably would have been confused. You probably would have felt like he's probably talking to someone else. He's saying you, but he doesn't mean me. He might mean them. He might mean my sister. He might mean my neighbor, but he doesn't mean me. And if Jesus could have heard your mind in that moment and spoken back directly to you, here's what I believe he would have said. He was like, no, I mean you. Because see, if you build your life on me and you place your faith in me and you trust me, then you're going to follow me. And the more you follow me, the more you're going to become like me. And the more you become like me, the more your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers are going to see me in you. And your friends and family and neighbors and coworkers, they need me, Jesus would say. And so one of the ways I reach them is through you. It's through helping you. It's through helping you find freedom from the same mistakes over and over and over. It's in helping you find freedom maybe from an addiction you have, or helping you find healing from some pain in your life. And see, and as that happens, as your life gets healthier, as you're able to overcome things, people notice. And what Jesus would say is, and I, not you, I get the glory. See, what he's really saying, what our bottom line is for them, I'm going to tell you at the top, is this. It's when we rely on the light of Jesus, we reveal the light of Jesus. It's a byproduct of following Jesus in our life. In fact, that's exactly what he says. He follows this up with a picture, with an illustration. Here's what he says. He says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. This is why I am convinced Jesus is the greatest communicator who ever lived. Because he's trying to teach a theological truth to people that some of them have been following God their entire lives. Maybe they have the entire scripture memorized, all the way to people who don't know who God is and can't read. And so it's why he always used pictures. It's why he's always used stories. He uses this illustration, and he uses one that everybody understands. When it was nighttime and it was dark, and they would go looking for the candles because they wanted to be able to see, they would light the candle and they would place it on a table so that it would actually provide some benefit to the room. No one lit a candle and then hid it because it wouldn't help. If he was teaching this message today to us here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, he would say, when a hurricane's coming and you go and find all the flashlights, when the power goes out, you don't throw the bag of flashlights out the window. And you're like, no, who would do that? No one. Because they're useful. And we're all nodding along. Like, yeah, no one would do that. Why would anyone do that? That's a gift. It's something we benefit from. Of course we would use it. And so Jesus has us all nodding along. And then he says this, in the same way, just like no one would have a light and not use it. Just like we wouldn't, none of us would have a flashlight and then not get it out if the power went out during a hurricane. It is just inherent. It is just the thing we would do. It is the natural response. He says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. And then he adds, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. He's saying, what I'm doing in you is for you, but it's not just for you. What I'm doing in you is for the people around you as well. I want to bless your life so that others are drawn to it, so that they can be pointed to me. Another way of saying it, that's what we said a minute ago. When we rely on the light of Jesus, we reveal the light of Jesus. I do, you do, any of us that call ourselves Christ followers. His light is in us, he's moving in us, and his light shines through us. And so not only is he the light of the world, he's inviting us to be the light of the world. And at Christmas, most of the time, it feels easier, right? Because everybody's kind of in a good mood. Things are a little more cheery. And so it makes a lot of sense to talk about being the light at Christmas. And for some of us, that's very easy to do. For others, I'll be very honest for a second. How many of you have ever felt like you're just not quite wired for the cheeriness of Christmas? If you were being honest, you'd say, man, you know, I'm more of a 4th of July person. I'd say I have a firecracker personality. I don't know, you ever just feel out of your depths at Christmas? And maybe you don't, and that's okay, but maybe you had a bad day. Maybe you had a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad year. And a lot of Christmases, man, the joy just comes, the spirit just comes. And this year, it's not there. And you're trying to fake it. Whew, but you just, you don't feel like you're doing it right. You're like, I know what the Christmas spirit is supposed to feel like, and I don't have it. And so then maybe you feel a little guilty, maybe a little shame. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you're in a different financial situation than you've been in past years. And one of the ways you showed the light at Christmas was you would bless people financially. You know, maybe you would buy gifts or do the angel Christmas tree, whatever it's called, you know, the things like that. And something's happened this year. Your situation's changed. Business hasn't gone well. And so you're not able to do those things that you normally do. And I don't know if you know this. We have an enemy. His name's Satan, the devil. He hates your guts. And he's the one who's been whispering in your ear for the last week, you're not good enough this year. Yeah, you had the Christmas spirit last year, you know, when you could do all that stuff for people. But because you don't do that this year, it's your fault. You messed up. You made a mistake. And so, no light for you. Maybe you don't like to bake cookies. And so maybe it's this year. Maybe it's been every year. You spend most of Christmas trying to get through it, but just kind of doubting yourself. Maybe beating yourself up a little bit because it's just not you. You're just not wired that way. Especially when we talk about good deeds. So often when we talk about good deeds, there are these public deeds. There's these things that we can put on social media and talk about. And for whatever reason, maybe that's just not how you're feeling this year, or this is never how you feel. And when we talk about being a light at Christmas, and when we talk about shining the light of Jesus, you have to basically say, hey, look, I'm glad there's other people who can do that, because that's not me. It's definitely not me this year. I can't do that. I can't shine a light that way. Now look, I would assume you felt that way at some point. I know I have. And if you're a Christ follower and you felt that, man, I'm so glad you're here, because it's not me. I believe the God of the universe has a message for you today. And to explain it, I want to go back to how we started. I want to talk about Christmas decorations again. I want to talk about Christmas lights. Do you know why we use lights at Christmas? Do you know why we put out lights and celebrate lights and put the candles and decorate with light? It's because Jesus is the light of the world. It's a symbol. And as best we can tell, the first person who kind of made this a practice is the reformer Martin Luther in the 16th century. Legend has it, I think he even wrote it down, and so we're pretty sure this is right, that he was the first one to put candles. He would arrange them on their trees to represent light, because he thought it looked like the stars in the sky, and he wanted to show his kids. And so he began sharing it with people, and other people kept hearing about him using the light, and so his followers began putting out light at Christmas. And a couple hundred years later, we have Clark Griswold. But the decorations were a way of sharing and declaring that Jesus is the light of the world. That's how it started. And it's still true now. Now, what's my point? We just had a lot of fun talking about all the different ways people like to display light at Christmas. Some people want white lights. Some people want multicolored lights. Some people want tasteful. Some people want what they consider tasteful. But here's what I know. The way you decorate is personal to you. The way you decorate has meaning to you. The way you decorate is a reflection of who you are. It's probably a reflection of generations of who you are. It's probably reflections of the way your parents did it, or maybe even your grandparents or your great-grandparents, your great-grandparents. It's this personalized way you're proclaiming to the world something about yourself. And there's no right way. There's no wrong way. There you go, spouses. You can't fight about it now. There is no right way. There is no wrong way. There's just our way. This is the way we're wired to do it. The way we're wired to decorate. And we do it based on our past. We do it based on our preferences. We do it based on the people we marry. We do it based on our children. But it is incredibly personal to us. And no one else gets to come in and knock on your door, I guess unless it's an HOA, and then sorry. And say, we don't like the way you're displaying your light. You have to display your light like us. It's not how it works. Because when we display Christmas lights, it's a way of revealing ourselves to the world. In the same way, the way we reveal the light of Jesus to the world is just as personal. And is just as much a reflection of our own personalities and our past. And the only thing we have to wonder at Christmas is, am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? Am I waking up every day saying, Jesus, how do you want to lead me today? And if we can answer that question honestly, and if we can say yes, we can rest assured that the light of Jesus is flowing through us whether we sing Christmas carols or not. Yes, some people are wired to want to go door to door singing Christmas carols, bringing cheer. Great. God bless them. I'm raising two of them, and I love them for it. But I would rather get a root canal than have to go knock on strangers' doors while they're eating dinner and sing to them. And for a great deal of my life, I felt guilty about that. Like I was broken or wrong. And some of you are like, you are wrong. I'm not wrong. And see, I can even prove it. Let me take you back to what Jesus says. He says, let your good deeds shine. He didn't say, here's the list of deeds, pick. He said, let your good deeds. And you know what a good deed is? Any deed we do in obedience to Jesus is a good deed. So yes, when we bring cheer by knocking on doors and delivering cookies or raking the yard or helping with someone's Christmas, those are good deeds and you are letting your light shine and you're doing it because in your stage of life and where you are, it is possible and appropriate and you have the means and you have the resources and you should do it and God bless and we celebrate that. But equally, if you are in a tense situation at work and you are being encouraged to lie or at least be disingenuous and you choose to stand on integrity and be honest in that moment, you are declaring the light of Jesus as loudly and as boldly and as clearly as someone who pays for Christmas for someone else. And I think sometimes at Christmas, our enemy likes to take shots by getting us to compare ourselves to other people and say, if only you could have the Christmas spirit they do. If only you could give. Why didn't you buy five families Christmas? And you're like, well, honestly, because I can barely afford my own Christmas. And the enemy says, what's wrong with you? And our king says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because if you're listening to me, if you're letting me lead you, the light is shining out of you. And the people that I want to notice are going to notice. And so you never have to spend time comparing and saying, well, my light's not like their light. Of course not, because it's theirs. Jesus wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do a work in your heart. Because there are relationships you have other people don't have. And it's how he works in you. It's what he does through your obedience that is going to draw them. And so my hope for us this Christmas is that as we can just remind ourselves, as we go into this season and live out this season, the only person we need to concern ourselves with is, am I doing what they want me to do or not, is Jesus. Are we seeking his input? And are we obeying him? Because if we are, we can believe this truth, that when we rely on the light of Jesus, we reveal the light of Jesus. So what I want to do to close today is a little different, because this is an incredibly personal message, right? This is one that, you know, I wasn't really sure about. When God kind of put it on my heart and I wrote it, I was like, what do we do with this? Because it's so, like, I can't give you a next step. This is just sort of a process we have to have with our king. And so what I want to do is we're actually going to close with a kind of extended time of prayer that I want to guide you through. Because what I really want to do is I want to make a little space for us this morning to ask a simple question. And if we do, I believe our king will answer, and then we'll have this week to obey. So in light of all that we've said today, whether you are a Christmas person or not a Christmas person, whether you feel like you do a great job of shining the light at Christmas, or whether you feel a little like Scrooge at Christmas, there's a question we can all ask. And we can be certain our king will answer, and it's this. How can I reveal the light of Jesus this week? Because when we rely on the light, we will reveal the light. So what I want to invite you to do is just, everybody bow your heads for a minute. And I want you to pray. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this question. And as you do, I want you to picture settings in your mind. I want you to start at home, whatever home looks like for you. See, so often we think about things we can do for our neighbor or things we can do at work, but I want to start at home. How can you reveal the light of Jesus this week at home? Specifically to your spouse. Is there something you need to forgive your spouse for? Ask God to help you forgive him this week. And let that be a way you reveal his light. Is there a task coming up that they don't want to do, that you could just bless them with and step in and do it for them and not expect anything in return? Is there a conversation you've needed to have with your kids or with your parents? Is there an issue you've been sweeping under the rug? Is there some truth that you need to speak in love? When we rely on the light of Jesus, we will reveal the light of Jesus. So that's the way we can reveal his light this week. Now I want you to ask God to expand your view. Maybe it's to work. Maybe it's to school. Maybe it's to your close friends. Maybe it's your neighborhood. And again, just ask him, is there a step of obedience he's asking you to take in one of those areas? Again, is there an opportunity to be honest this week? Is there an opportunity to have integrity this week? Is there an opportunity to show someone patience this week? Is there an opportunity to have that conversation that you need to have and they need to have and you don't want to have? But could you stand on Jesus this week and stand on his truth and let him guide you? His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Could you trust that enough to step into where he wants you to go this week? So that you not only receive the light, but that you reveal the light. As you're praying, I want you to ask God to just expand your view and to just to give you a picture of what it might look like this week in Myrtle Beach. What it might look like if we all left this place and said, Heavenly Father, we surrender ourselves to you. Let us be the light this week. Let us reveal your Son. What would happen? I want you to imagine the atmosphere of your home, the atmosphere of your school, the atmosphere of work, the atmosphere of your neighborhood, the atmosphere of your community. If each one of us took seriously our role of just being the light. And how are we the light? We obey Jesus. Anytime we do what he asks us to do, we are revealing it. So what would happen this Christmas if we didn't compare, if we didn't allow the enemy to make us feel judged, but instead said, Jesus, you made me exactly who I am. And this week I give you permission to shine through me exactly how you want. You show me where to step, Jesus, and I will step. And I trust you with the results. We're about to enter our response time. And hopefully the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in this moment. During our response, you're free to continue praying. Our prayer team will be down front if you'd like someone to pray with you. We have communion available. But this is your opportunity to take what you've heard and to take what you think God wants you to do and to settle in your souls that when you leave here today, you will live differently in light of what God has said. And so I want to pray one more time and then we will respond. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so grateful for your Son and for the gift of light. And God, we are thankful that you use us in different ways, that you use our gifts and our strengths and our talents and our abilities and our personalities to reveal you. So, Father, may we never compare. May we be content with who you've created us to be. May we walk in your light. May we pursue your light. And, Father, may your light shine through us as we obey you. And may Myrtle Beach never be the same because we all chose to bring your light, the light, to our friends, our family, and our neighbors, and our coworkers. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's respond.